Welcome to the Catholic Link podcast. The podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, and I am joined by Father George Elliott. And today we are going to talk to you about prayer and spirituality during the Christmas season. So right now is December 27th. I had to check the date. It's St. John's feast day. So we are still right smack in the middle of the Christmas octave. And I wanted to talk about something that really stuck out to me. Father George, do you have a really pretty nativity scene in your church?
We do. We had a previous pastor that was just really good about buying nice stuff. We got a beautiful nativity scene.
We do too. Ours is handmade.
Oh, wow. It's like a whole nother level.
So we have some Asian parishioners who put it together and they go nuts. And it's, you know, a whole different flair. It's not American devotional stuff. It's very different.
All right.
But I can see it from the altar and I think it's pretty and it has shiny lights all over it, which very much matches my personality, and I like that. As I was looking over at the nativity scene, though, I remembered something that was in the gospel. We read it at the mass during the mass at dawn. And it's from Luke, and it says, Mary pondered all of these things, treasuring them in her heart. And I know that we talk about, oh, Mary contemplates, and that's what we do. We say the rosary. But, you know, I was really struck by just how mad I would be if I was in the Christmas story. Like if I was the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Let's do the rant.
Oh yeah, yeah. If I was the Blessed Virgin Mary, I would be fit to be tied. Like, you know, if you don't believe me, let's just go through the Christmas story. You know, so Mary miraculously conceives a child. How many people really believe her? You know, like, for every one person who believes her, maybe St. Joseph, after God smacks him around a little bit, you know, there's 10 people who think she's just crazy and a liar, right? So she can't go outside. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, I mean, like, she's pregnant. She can't go outside. It's not like you can hide it. So she's got that going on. Second, then she has to go to Bethlehem on a donkey, 9 months pregnant. With Joseph, who loves her, but they barely know each other at this point. Then when she finally gets to Bethlehem, there's nowhere to stay. And I was thinking about when I went on vacation to Colorado, it was me and two other priests. And the priest I didn't know was in charge of our Airbnb. And like, the guy did not think to call the host and tell them what time we would be arriving. So when we got there, the house is locked up and there's no way to reach the host. There's nowhere to stay. After I've flown across the country and driven 2 hours into the Rocky Mountains, now I have nowhere to stay.
Machines, right? We talk about flying and driving, not riding a donkey.
Yeah. And that's like convenient.
And I don't think you're 9 months pregnant. And so
I was pretty much not 9 months pregnant. I might have needed to use the bathroom, but that's not the same thing, you know? But like, just think how tough the Virgin Mary had it on Christmas. She has to give birth in a stable, and then shepherds come up, and shepherds are not nice, respectable people. They stink. They're rough. And that doesn't even factor into like Herod trying to kill the baby. They have to go hide in Egypt, and then they have to go back to Nazareth. I mean, goodness. I would be so mad if I was Mary. So I guess the reason I'm saying this is because Mary was able to take these things that I would find really rough. And it says she treasured them and pondered them in her heart. So Mary is able to do the work of reflection and she's able to step back. And when she steps back and prays over these things, she starts to see a golden thread almost. She sees the hand of God many, many years after this happened, you know? And she, as a result of that, she's able to see the beauty and the divine plan as it's unfolding. So sometimes I look at nativity scenes and I think, wow, that's kind of dressed up, don't you think? But I think
it's both really nice. I'm pretty sure that they would have been sweaty, nasty, and not smiling.
Yeah, not smiling, not having a good time, you know. But But at the same time, you look at it and you think the nativity scene as it's portrayed is also true, because it's the way Mary understood what it meant. She understood what was going on. You know, she didn't only look at it as a series of disappointments and frustrations. She was able to see the glory of the Lord in the middle of all that.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, just talking about this, that's a situation for a lot of human experience, especially as Catholics. You know, I mean, I can definitely say that for priest life, where, you know, most of my day is spent running between, you know, responding to emails, staff, you know, meeting with staff, answering random questions of random people, you know, distributing communion, anointing someone in the hospital, hearing confessions, offering mass, and then, you know, helping someone take the next step in marriage prep, you know,
and then die.
Yeah. And then, just like get back to the house and not want to talk to anyone. Right. And just be like, right. Oh my gosh, that was exhausting. And, you know, how many of those conversations were kind of frustrating. But, you know, being able to step back and say, okay, well, what really happened? Like, wow, you know what? I helped, you know, these people advance the mission of the church here in Nacogdoches. I helped these people, you know, go from the path to hell to the path to heaven through sacramental absolution. I distributed the Lord of the universe to, you know, the 45 people that showed up to daily mass. And I helped, you know, two young people take a step closer to starting a holy Catholic family. That's an amazing day. That's the best day ever.
Yeah.
But if I don't stop and think about it, then I'm just grumpy.
And I think that's not just true for priests. I mean, I think that's true for most people. We kind of live our life just from thing to thing, and we never stop and think about what it means. We never try to see the bigger picture. You know, I think in a secular way, you could talk about mindfulness. Just being aware of what you're doing. What I am doing, the thing that I was called to do. I'm doing the thing, you know, I used to have to go to a nursing home that was 30 minutes away. I hated the drive. Just like killed me. But one of the things that really helped me was I remember it just kind of came to me while I was riding, and it was like, I was in prison and you visited me. Or the line in John 21, if you love me, feed my sheep.
Yeah.
And you think, like, you know, this is why the church has always told priests to stop and think about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
From Charles Borromeo on, there's this really strong push. Be aware. Be aware of what you're doing. Be aware of the significance of what you're doing. Now, obviously, you got to be smart, because if you only live in that place, you're never going to get anything done.
Right. Yeah. You can't just meditate. Well, I mean, I guess you can meditate all day, but you need to live in a monastery if you're doing that, you know?
Yeah. It's good. You got to be able to turn it off to function sometimes. But I think having a part of your day devoted to thinking about what you did during the day is a really good thing. You know, being aware of how God is actually working in your life, how all the frustrations and the stupid and the work, all that stuff together may not actually be that when you examine it in the light of God.
Yeah. You're fulfilling your vocation. You're loving your spouse by, you know, going to work. You're forming a future saint by, you know, each little action that you do with your children. You're building up a community. You're expressing true love. You know, these are profound things that we do just day to day.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the Virgin Mary is a great role model for us in this, great role model and helper in this, you know? So when you pray, ask the Virgin to learn how to see like she did. Ask Our Lady to be able to help you to see God's plan in your life, to be able to say yes to God's plan in your life, like she did. Because we only think of Mary's yes as like yes to the angel, but it's to the angel, to Elizabeth, to going to Bethlehem, to Joseph. She said a lot of yeses. And I think the only way she was able to keep doing that, besides, you know, not sinning, was she was able to step back and do this. And I just think it's a tool in our toolbox that we don't use enough as Christians. We're not mindful enough. We're not aware of what we're doing. We only think about it when it's a sin.
Mm.
So just a thought, maybe take some time during your day and do a little bit of examination and see where the hand of God is, where you were invited to say yes, and to see how you were already fulfilling his plan. So I don't know, just something maybe to think about during the Christmas season. Well, this is going to be a little bit shorter of an episode today, but we're going to finish up here. This has been the Catholic Link Podcast. The podcast for busy Catholics. My name is Father Rob Adams, joined by Father George Elliott. You can find all of our previous material over at CatholicLink.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.